It's like it, money.
Good morning, gentlemen. Heard Neil's incredibly touching interview with Bridget O'Toole yesterday. It was tragic and compelling and from the heart. Her husband, Dermot, was stabbed to death by Gavin Perry in Hastings. And Perry got 23 years on the bottom, a life with 23 years, for that murder plus a series of other offences. This fellow has 200 previous convictions. He was released on parole, and 5 months later he committed this particular crime. Let's hope that Bridget becomes sort of the lightning rod for the issue of concurrent sentences and discounts for guilty pleas in the same way that Rosie Batty has for family violence, because what she had to say was from the heart and made an enormous amount of sense, because this is not a criticism of the judge, because quite clearly the sentencing was in that range, which would make it very difficult for the Director of Public Prosecutions to deal with it. But let's just go back for a moment. Surely to goodness you get an extra bit of sentence when you go to commit a crime armed. That must be concluded that it's premeditated. You can't turn around and say, I had the gun to threaten the person because I wanted money and things went wrong, so I shot them, or in this case, stabbed them. There must be an assumption if you take a weapon to a scene for another crime, you're prepared to do it. In this case, Perry could easily have escaped, but chose to do what he did. He was carrying a 20-centimetre carving knife, which he plunged into his victim. Now, this was not a case where he waved it about and unfortunately nicked an artery, or he threatened the person and they had a heart attack. Do understand that to stab someone deeply with a 20-centimetre carving knife is the equivalent of using all your force as though you were throwing a punch. And people who have been stabbed and survived say it is actually like being punched and then it goes cold. To give you an idea, imagine a very, very large uncooked roast and you stab it through that whole roast. That's assuming you don't hit bone. Imagine the force that you have to use and the predetermination that you had to use. The problem we have, and we understand why we have to give a discount for pleading guilty. It's purported to be remorse, but it's actually the practical thing of it stops the system being clogged up, and it stops witnesses have to be dealt with in such a traumatic environment. So there should be a discount, but surely it should be a sliding one. And that is, if you go to the police station or ring up and say, I have just done something terrible and I'm full of remorse, but I am now reporting this crime and I am the offender, well, you get a maximum discount for that. You at the earliest opportunity confess, you get a discount for that. But too often what we have is quite a cynical process where we go to committal, where the evidence is tested. So you have a bit each way. You have a look and say, how strong is their case? And you only plead guilty when you realise that you are going to be found guilty, so as you may as well cop it to get the discount. Sure, do that, but you get a much less discount.
Well, now that you point that out, that's a no-brainer that you should get a greater discount for pleading guilty prior to committal than after.
My understanding is the discount is roughly a third, and I'm not sure, I don't believe that there is a greater discount for that. But surely if you plead guilty on, you know, the steps of the Supreme Court, okay, you don't get your pre-Christmas sale discount. You get a few percent off, and that's it.